Conan O'Brien needs a fan. Want to talk to Conan? Visit teamcoco.com/callconan. Okay, let's get started.
Oh my God.
Oh, I hear someone.
Hi, Yvonne. Welcome to Conan O'Brien Needs a Fan.
Hi,
Yvonne. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Tell us where you're coming from.
I'm coming from Hastings City in Hawke's Bay, New Zealand.
Oh, you're in New Zealand. Okay. Yeah. I love your very colorful background. I love with the flowers in your hair. You're bright. You're very colorful. I'm loving it. Very cheerful. What time is it where you are?
So it's 11 a.m. on Wednesday morning, mm-hmm. and it's a beautiful spring day here in Hawke's Bay. But the weather has been quite poxy lately, so I kind of thought I should just put some color on.
What is poxy? You know, pox means, in my mind, it means that there's a disease spreading. Mm. Is that what you're saying? The weather has been spreading a medieval disease?
Yes, Conan, it has.
Sounds lovely.
Of glumness and dourness.
Well, the New Zealand Tourist Bureau must love you. Come to New Zealand for the pox.
It's just been one of those seasons, you know, the start of spring. You just never know from day to day what you're
going
to get.
Know.
Everyone thinks it's, you think it's going to be sunshine and flowers and blossoms all the time. And then you get a couple of days of murkiness and rain and it's like, oh. So no. I was thinking that might be happening today. So I thought I'd put some stuff on that was bright and low.
Well, guess what? You look fantastic. You look beautiful. Everything
Thank
is
you.
Popping. And tell me a little bit about yourself. What do you do for a living?
I do lots of things, but my core business, as I'm supposed to say, is I'm a wine writer. So I'm I taste wine for a living.
You taste wine for a living? This sounds like a fantastic job. How does that work? You know, do you taste wines at night? How does it work? When does your day start?
My day usually starts quite early. So the best time for me to start is as early as I can. So sometimes it's, you know, 7-8 in the morning, and I'll get up and quietly sort of pad out to my desk, which is actually my kitchen table where I'm sitting mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. And I'll start tasting wines because...
Wait, at 7 in the morning?
Whoa.
Yeah. Well, because my brain's fresh, you know, and my taste buds are fresh. There hasn't been stuff happening to them during the day. I haven't had a zillion cups of coffee. You know, it's like... the only thing that's not fresh is my teeth. Because you don't clean your teeth before you start tasting wine.
Right, you can't brush your teeth before you taste wine because you're just going to be tasting the Crest toothpaste. I'm getting money for them.
Correct.
I know,
Crest.
Specifically brand.
We don't have Crest over here. What's great about Crest? Why should I be using
Crest? I don't know. I just said that. But now with extra whitening powders.
Have you ever considered brushing your teeth with wine?
Yeah, would you ever brush your teeth with wine?
Well, yes, you can brush your teeth with wine, but the outcome won't be that great. So particularly if it's red wine, after a day of tasting red wine, your teeth can go this really attractive bluey, purple, gray, and it sticks, and everyone wants you to smile. And it's
Yvonne,
and,
you say that you get up at 7 in the morning and you start drinking, and you drink throughout the day.
Tasting, Conan.
Sure,
tasting
yes, tasting.
You're not drinking it.
No. Tasting and tasting and tasting. And then do you actually write about it later on, or are you just an alcoholic?
I write about it later on. So the thing is, I've got special equipment. My most treasured possession is my spit bucket.
Oh.
Which I carry with me everywhere. It's got its own handle. See,
that's right? Nice. So you walk
around. I can
around,
take it around town.
Carrying
can,
a bucket. That's nice.
Full of regurgitated wine.
Yeah. How lovely.
So, you know, you don't want to look inside it. It's not pretty. But you know, the thing is, you look at the wine, you sniff the wine, you swish it around in your mouth, think, okay, what am I smelling? What am I tasting? And you're writing notes the whole time, mm-hmm. and then you spit it out.
So
right?
you actually
and then you think
you must get some alcohol, though. Some alcohol must get passed through various capillaries in your mouth, right?
Yes. Yeah, a little bit for sure.
Right. Do
Absolutely.
You ever get a little, I mean, after a long day of just even wine tasting, do you ever get a little tipsy or?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you can't help but, or not tipsy, but it's like you get, it's exhausting after a big day. Like if you're judging in a competition and it's, you know, over 100 wines a day, by the end of it, for a start, you do not want to drive. You don't want to operate any heavy machinery or anything involving a lot of technology. And you probably just want a cup of tea and a beer, you know, at the end of it.
And then some more wine.
So,
Yvonne,
it's a lot of fun, you know.
You know, this is fascinating to me because I just, you know, I've always thought that even the guy who tastes ice cream at the ice cream factory, at the end of the day, he must have some days where he's like, oh, my God, if I have to have another taste of ice cream, I'll go crazy. Can you enjoy a glass of wine when you go out to a restaurant? Or is that the last thing you want when it's your job?
Well, if it's, like I said before, if it's been a really big day of tasting, if I've tasted a lot of wine, then yeah, I want a Negroni or something, or a nice cleansing ale or whatever, you know.
Or just like some pills or something, you know.
Pills,
something that gives you a high, but it's like a clean high. Mm. Yeah.
A clean high. Yeah, a clean high that can't be smelled on your breath, you know.
That's fascinating.
I guess sometimes, you know, if you go out to a restaurant, everyone goes, they hand you the wine list. They go, you choose. You choose what we all drink. Come on. And it's like sometimes I don't want to do that. And other times you'll have friends that go, let's go out for a girls' night. Let's go have wines. And I'm like,
it's your profession.
Maybe
and not. There's no way that you can just chill and enjoy a glass of wine because all your friends are going to like the wine, but you're going to be thinking, a little bit too many citrus notes for a cab, right? I'm tasting cinnamon when I feel I should be tasting basalt, you know?
Right.
Possibly not salt. Right. Well, maybe
I said basalt. I meant the rock.
Basalt. Yes.
Yeah, like a mineral.
Basalt or granite or graphite characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're good. You're good at this.
Oh, I just say things. I don't think that I actually have a good palate. How would we know if I have a good
palate? Well, we're actually prepared to test this.
Oh, good.
Where you said that maybe we could give him some food. He could describe it and you could tell if he really has a knack for this.
Yeah. Do I have a palate or not? Do you think you could tell?
Yeah. Yeah, because everyone does. Everyone has a palate. But, you know, some people can actually verbalize what they're smelling and tasting better than others.
Right.
Everyone can taste, you know, it just takes practice. So I don't know, what have we got to throw in front of you?
Well,
like
just
a,
rated
like a biscuit
our
or a cracker or some
Team Coco snack
a
cabinet. And from the fruity side of things, we've got Welch's fruit snacks, if that's, you know, for your fruitier wines.
Mm-hmm.
For your more autumnal, we've got Bear Baked Crunchy Fuji and Red's Apple Chips.
Okay.
And then finally, if we want to go something just a little bit more baseline, we've got Barnum's Animal Crackers.
Okay.
What do you guys think is best?
I'm going to defer to the expert, Yvonne. Yvonne, what do you think I should be tasting?
Oh, my goodness. So hold the options up again for me to have a look at.
Animal crackers, apple chips, fruit snacks.
I think apple chips. Let's go the apple chips.
Okay. All right.
I'm looking forward to this.
Do you want?
I don't understand why, if I know what it is ahead of time, isn't that cheating? I'm just going to say it tastes like apple.
No.
It's got a kind of a chicken.
No. I want you to tell me what kind of apple and... Yeah, because you have different apple varieties, right?
Yeah, but
what
I don't know.
What does it smell like?
I don't know about apple varieties. I don't get out much.
Okay, is it?
I was
do you
raised...
think it smells like a red apple or a green apple?
All right now I'm getting red apple. I think it's a red apple.
It's also on the package.
Yeah, it says Fuji and Red.
Well, I didn't see that. I
and
actually didn't see that.
And there's a red apple. And you're really good at
you're
BSing,
doing a blind,
too.
Yeah,
no, but
you're
I didn't see that.
Guessing.
I honestly didn't see that.
But I feel like you could make it up.
All right, well, deconstruct away. I'm trying to do something, you know,
legitimate
here. Oh,
you're taking a seat. I didn't know
all right, so I'm looking just at you. I'm not looking at the package. But I did mm-hmm. sense it was a red apple. Should I taste it?
Yes, taste it. And think about, does it taste really sweet or is it dry or is it creamy or is it, does it have a crunchy texture or does it have a rubbery texture?
It has a tang. It has a kind of a tang, a sharpness to
it. Okay.
Would
you say it's refreshing or soothing?
I would say it's not refreshing. It's because I know my brain is saying, it's an apple. But then it's all dry and crunchy, so my brain is saying, red alert, red alert. This is a dried up old apple that you found that's from the Civil War or something.
And then that's what you write. That's what you write down.
I would say
this is an upsetting
wine. makes me think of a desiccated old fruit. Yeah, I think this is a terrible way to test my ability to check out wine. I think that Matt gave no thought to this. He just went to the snack cabinet, grabbed some shit.
I did pick out the three things that I wanted to eat at that moment.
I know. Now we're snacking.
It's
So here's the thing.
It's quite citrusy. Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. But apple's not a citrus. It's a tree fruit.
I know. I'm telling you that it has a citrusy tang to it. So I do think that it has.
Well, here's a trick, though, Conan. Here's something you can do. And this is what I do when I'm tasting wine. Like, I've got one right here. This is Chardonnay.
Oh, good. I have a wine right here.
Oh, good.
It's turning out to be a good day. Yeah,
cool. Because we've got a big Chardonnay symposium happening in my town at the moment. So there's just Chardonnay everywhere. But what I do when I'm tasting wine is I sometimes think, if this wine was a person, what kind of person would it be?
Okay.
So I kind of think about the wine with personality traits as well as aromas and flavors. So
this is turning
is this
more into a test of
fun?
Can I open a bottle of wine?
It's got a cork? Ooh,
yeah, it's got a cork.
You don't see corks very often.
Wait,
are you guys all screw tops now?
Well, a lot of the wine is under screw top because screw tops are amazing for wine. They are the greatest things ever, in my opinion.
Okay, I've poured myself just a little bit.
Great. Okay. Now, your glass is quite good. I like the shape. Because the shape is really important when assessing wine, because you don't want one of those small, stumpy, short,
glasses. This is aerating the wine.
You want an elegant one.
This is aerating the wine right now. I'm swirling the wine around as I've seen people do in movies. Yes.
But also, you could go all Cirque du Soleil on it and hold it from the foot and swirl. See?
Very good.
Hold
all
it
right.
from the foot. You're holding it from the stem.
Oh, can I say one thing? This glass is really dirty.
Yeah, dish spots all over these.
I mean, you know what the problem is? We have a podcast studio, and Aaron Blair, who works for us,
you can take that one.
Is a bachelor.
I'm good.
And I think he lives. He's a hoarder. And
he's not that good with the
I think he wouldn't know a clean glass if it was shoved where the sun don't shine. So no, anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm sure some detritus is getting in there. What do you think? How am I doing?
You're doing very well, but host, I mean, the way you're holding it is giving me anxiety. So see how I'm holding the foot of the glass?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and then you can do it like lots of swirling it. Put a bit of wrist action.
Oh, look at Sona.
I'm crushing it.
Oh, you guys got it too.
Sona's a professional drinker. Sona's been drinking.
Thanks, Yvonne.
Yeah.
You're doing exceptionally well, my darling. Right. Okay, so now we're going to snip it.
This is my new job.
Sona was drinking in the womb.
Oh, come on.
No, you were.
I had a nice wine glass in the womb.
Okay, so I've swirled this about as much as I can swirl it.
Yeah, you swirled it loads, so enough of the swirling. Now we're going to sniff it, and we're not going to do any of this stuff, bullshit, you know.
Like waft it through.
You just get your nose right in there.
You see people, you just get your nose right in there.
Are we trying the same kind of wine right now?
Yeah.
Oh, we are.
Oh, as her? No.
Yeah. Oh, well, what a great experiment. Let's have someone in New Zealand with a glass of wine and someone in Los Angeles with some cookies and see if they have the same, put them on Zoom and see if they have the same notes.
It's called Rayburn Russian River Valley Chardonnay 2020.
Rayburn.
Okay, great. So it is a Chardonnay, brilliant, all right.
All right, and you have a Chardonnay. All right, let me tell you what I'm getting.
I have a Chardonnay. I have the Tony Bish.
Nice label.
Hawke's Bay Chardonnay. This
Tony
is called
Bush? Is that called?
Bish.
Oh,
Bish.
I'm sorry. I went a different way.
What?
Can you see that?
Yeah.
So Tony Bish, now he is the absolute guru. He's like the Gandalf of Chardonnay making here in New Zealand.
Okay.
He is Mr. Chardonnay. That's all he does. He just makes Chardonnay the whole time. So this is his heartwood, and it's beautiful. Like, anyway, enough. I love him.
Okay.
Right. So we're going to smell it, and we want to smell interesting things. So I'm in my New Zealand Chardonnay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting aromas of toasty oak, like rising dough, biscuits, and roast peaches.
Chardonnay.
Toasted stone fruit and spice. You know, just a little bit of spice.
I'm getting hints
of
I'm getting hints of microphone.
Oh, no.
Oh, wait. My microphone is closer to my nose than the wine. Hold on a second.
Well, that'll do it.
I I'm getting essence.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's a
wedding.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have good words. Use your words.
You're
a writer. Does it smell fruity?
It smells so fruity, but it also smells.
What does it smell like?
I'm getting kind of a grapefruit.
Oh.
Okay, good. That's great.
And I'm also getting.
What if he's wrong, though? Because I'm reading the label.
No.
Okay.
He's not wrong, because grapefruit is in Chardonnay. You definitely get grapefruity characters in good Chardonnay. So
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
And, you know, it is have a little bit of a mineral. It doesn't, I'm going to say it feels a little drier than a normal Chardonnay.
Let's taste it. Let's taste it.
Well, I think Sona already did. I swallowed it. Is it okay to swallow?
Mm-hmm.
You can swallow. It's all right. You don't need the bucket. Come on. Easy.
What are you guys getting up to down there?
What? That's how you do it. You haven't had anyone spit on microphone before?
I'm not judging you.
No? This is very nice.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to say, for podcast wine, this is pretty good.
This cool, marine-influenced region is perfectly suited to exceptionally flavored Chardonnay. Fresh layers of green apple and pear are accented by a creamy richness due to surlis aging.
Okay,
so do you know what surlis aging means? And this is a tip for anyone that's listening, watching. Someone goes surlis, it doesn't mean, you know, moody and angry, which is what surlis, S-U-R-L-Y, means. Surlis means on lees. So the lees are when the yeast is finished doing its ferment and it's basically died, they drop to the bottom of the barrel or the tank and they form like a really attractive grey-green paste in the bottom of the vessel, and some winemakers will leave the wine on the lees for an extended period of time, or they'll stir the lees through the wine, which gives a kind of a creamy textural character to the wine. So if you see surlis on the back label of a wine bottle or on a tasting note, you can go, right, so it's been aged on its lees. And everyone will think you're a guru.
Okay.
So that's great. That's a really great descriptor. It's really good. And the mineral thing is interesting, Conan, because when you have grapes by the seaside, you're going to get that saline character in the soils.
Yes.
You're going to get sea breeze on the, you know, on the leaves of the vines. And that's all going to end up in the berries. And what's in the berries ends up in the wine. So you did really well. That's great.
This isn't my podcast anymore. This is not Conan O'Brien Needs a Fan. This is now.
But here's another thing.
This is Wine Talk.
Could you please be quiet? She's trying to host a podcast.
Our host is Yvonne. Take it, Yvonne.
We're pairing it with animal crackers. Mm-hmm. Is that good?
Perfect.
Okay.
Yeah, pair it with anything. But one thing I want you to think about, guys, so Sona, this could be for you.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
One thing that I think about when I'm trying to figure out, is this a great wine? Like, is it a really good value wine? Is it deliciously made? Think about the length of flavor. So have a sip, swallow it, and then just kind of count how long you can still taste that wine for. Because, you know, so many wines, you know, you pour it in the glass and it looks pretty and you sniff it and you go, that smells delicious. And then you taste it, you go, that's really nice. And then it just disappears. And you're like, I'm going to have to keep sipping to keep the thrill alive.
Yeah.
And before you know it, you know, you're wrapped around the clothesline outside. Going,
I think we all know what it's like to chase that thrill. When you chase that thrill down a bottle, the bottle always wins.
The bottle will always win.
Yeah.
I find the animal crackers are overpowering the wine. The animal crackers, and maybe it's just because these are powerful animals, but
wine have good persistence and flavor?
It can't fight the animal crackers. I don't know what I would have to be drinking. It'd probably be vinegar. to fight this animal cracker taste. But this is a very good white.
Funny.
I like this white. Good. I think my issue what I don't like is I don't like a heavy wine. I don't like a heavy cab. Unless it's paired, of course, with a thick steak, say.
Oh.
But
Yes?
Well, speaking of Cabernet, you know how before I said that sometimes I like to think of wines as people or the kind of personalities that they have, you know? I kind of thought about you, Conan, about what I would, if you were a wine, what tasting note would I write mm-hmm. About you? Mm-hmm. And I kind of, it just came to me like just while I was waiting, because there was, we had some technical issues, and I thought about maybe Chateau Conan Christopher Cabernet, 1963, because I Googled you.
Sure.
Going rate $11.99 at most supermarkets.
$11.99.
It's a good price, you know. It's a cost
that's
of living.
A good price for
moment,
a wine that's 60 years old,
paired with episodes of Desperate Housewives.
So here's what I wrote, and correct me, and I'm probably wrong here.
No, go for it. Go for it, Yvonne. I trust you.
A long, leggy red that, despite hitting its peak drinking window in 2009, is still clinging to layers of seasoned saddle leather, aromas of roast beetroot, freshly ploughed earth, and Keith Richards. Flavor-wise, it has complex nuances of old swamp sandals and wet dog and blueberries, and new money. finishing with sinewy, gum tingling, skeletally dry tannins, and delicious textures to finish.
Okay, well, you're going to hear from my lawyer. You've insulted me roundly. No, that's very nice. I like that. Yes. I would try. I would taste that wine based on that description.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Yvonne, this is nice, and you gave us Sona. Why don't you pour yourself a little more?
Jeez.
Glad you're not breastfeeding right now.
Funny.
Your kids would crash their little tricycles.
I also remember that you like, speaking of tricycles, you like bikes, right? Bicycles?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. So I bought...
She's a bike taster.
My... yes.
I'm getting notes
from one of my
ass.
Recent... So from one of my recent tastings, I took out the inner tubes of the bike tires and made these earrings.
Ah.
Right? Oh, cool.
Those are fantastic.
I thought those were feathers.
From bicycle tire rubber. And
terrific.
As worn by our ex-Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, wore these earrings.
Very nice. Yvonne, you're clearly insane. And what we're going to do is have you arrested. I'm contacting the authorities in your town.
That is so cool.
They're coming in through the window.
Bring it.
You have bicycles hanging from your ears. You're trashed on your 90th wine of the day. No, this is very nice. I don't know that I have the capability to be a great connoisseur of wine. I don't think I have that ability, but I sure like that kind of numbness that comes after the third glass.
Hmm. The numbness. Well, I don't know about that, but this is why, you know. When
you're tasting, I do know about that. It's good.
Ice fit.
All the pain goes away.
To give you some idea as well of you know how seriously I do take my job, and there are lots of people like me that do this for a living and seriously, my business card, I don't know if you can see that there, has chief tasting officer.
Oh, very good. You do take yourself very seriously. That's good. It's good to take your
I try.
What's it like to take your profession seriously?
Terrible.
I have no idea.
It's a total joke.
I have never done it. Well, it was very nice talking to you, Yvonne. I think I've learned
super
a lot.
Fun.
Yeah.
I will not be eating. First of all, what I've learned is that these animal crackers are stale. They are very soft. Mm. They are stale, and I think they've been in our.
I didn't notice.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I didn't think you would.
Oh, okay.
They're not crispy at all. They're just
They're kind of nice when they're soft.
Sure.
Okay.
Said no lady
ever.
Like
at home. But you did very well. I'm
sorry,
really,
dick
I'm
joke.
Anyway, by your palate.
A cockaroo.
Oh boy.
Yvonne,
oh boy.
It was really nice talking to you. You are a bright spot in our day. You're bursting with color. And it's nice to think of you down there in New Zealand drinking all this incredible wine and being a force of positivity in the world, I say. That's what I say.
Thank you, Conan. We do try.
Thank you. The depression that comes after drinking is settling in, so I'm returning to my native Ireland in my mind.
This has been so fun.
Well, it's been really nice talking to you, Yvonne. Thank you so much for making time for us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. This is great. The whole of New Zealand says kia ora.
Ah, very nice. Well, thank you very much. You have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Enjoy that poxy weather.
Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. With Conan O'Brien, Sona Movsesian, and Matt Gourley. Produced by me, Matt Gourley. Executive produced by Adam Sachs, Nick Liao, and Jeff Ross at Team Coco, and Colin Anderson and Cody Fisher at Earwolf. Theme song by The White Stripes. Incidental music by Jimmy Vivino. Take it away, Jimmy. Our supervising producer is Aaron Blair, and our associate talent producer is Jennifer Samples. Engineering by Eduardo Perez. Additional production support by Mars Melnick. Talent booking by Paula Davis, Gina Batista, and Britt Kahn. You can rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts, and you might find your review read on a future episode. Got a question for Conan? Call the Team Coco hotline at 669-587-2847 and leave a message. It, too, could be featured on a future episode. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend wherever fine podcasts are downloaded. This has been a Team Coco production, in association with Earwolf.